privileged to be in the presence of the Lord. So it's good to have all of you here. Good morning. I know there are so many other places that you could have gone to, but you choose to be here. Amen. So thank you so much for sharing. Let's also give it up for the worship team, Brother Larry and the worship team. I continue to say how a tremendous blessing that they've been to me and to this church. We did not discuss the sermon. All right. You're good. I realize that you recorded the worship. That's good. So you can share it with your friends and your families. God bless you. So we did not discuss the sermon. That is within me, bless it. Got it?
Got it.
Oh, well, that's the best way to do it. Just take the battery out, right? Thank you so much. So we did not discuss the sermon this morning, but whenever I'm speaking here, there's a something with the worship team that their song selection is always spot on. So God bless you, the worship team. This morning we're going to be talking about the presence of God, amen? And we're going to be looking at Psalm 139, looking at the first 10 verses. If you did not get one of the sermon notes, you could just indicate, and one of our ushers will take those to you, all right? So you can make note as we go along into the worship and into the word. The most important thing is to really hear what God has to say. Amen? Praise God. So Psalm 139, the first 10 verses, because of time, I'm going to just look at a few of the verses, starting from verse 4. It says that there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest all together. Brother Justin? Yes. I think he's strategically coming the other side, right?
It's okay.
Yes. Verse 5 says of Psalm 139, thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Here is my favorite, verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Can we say amen to the reading of the word of the Lord? Father, we thank you for your word. We invite your presence to be with us. Your presence, oh God, it's so important to us. So as we go to your word, speak to our hearts, oh God, that when we leave this place today, we'll be challenged to remain in your presence. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. There is a well-known song that we normally sing. It is, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I shall tell him all of my troubles all alone. There are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I will tell him all of my troubles. So the topic this morning is the presence of God. The dictionary meaning of presence is, number one, the state or fact of being present. It also is a person or thing that is present but not seen. It also means the impressive manner or appearance of a person. It also means the immediate proximity of someone or something. Have you ever been in a little lonely area and someone decide to sneak up on you and you sense that someone is there? That is it. It also means an invisible spiritual being felt to be nearby. And don't take for once that a spirit being felt to be nearby is necessarily the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but I've had some nights that I struggle. You know, it's like someone hold me down. I don't know about you, but I've had those that you have to almost be calling God to rescue you, that you know that there's an evil spirit that comes within your vicinity. That is the reason why it's important, especially when we're about to retire for the night, we make sure that we put ourselves in the presence of God. It also means the impression that something is present. It could also mean an area immediately surrounding a great personage, especially a sovereign being. And finally, it is a supernatural influence felt to be nearby. Brothers and sisters, the Bible in Genesis declared that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it says that the earth was without form. Not only that the earth was without form, but it was without void. It was empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved, the Bible says, upon the waters. Amen? And God spake things into being. And the Bible says that there were. God also created man, and he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let man that I create have dominion over what I have created. The Bible says that he also saw that everything that he had made. And this is my understanding. When God created everything and saw that everything that he created, the Bible says, he says, wow, this is good. You know, he was patting himself on the shoulder that what he created was good. He then formed man of the dust of the ground. And not only did he form man from the dust of the ground, the Bible says that he breathed into man the breath. He breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Praise God. That's where we're coming from. This is not about no monkeyism, right? That's where we're coming from. God created us, formed us, right? You know, you know, writer says that we were from monkeys and all of that kind of thing, right? But God, the Bible says, created us, formed us. And when he was through, he breathed into our nostril the breath of life, and we became a living soul. The Bible says that he also planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put man, gave him his first responsibility to go take care of the garden. Thank God. The Bible says he took him, put him into the garden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord said, there's something missing. It is not good for man to be alone. So he put man aside, took the rib, and he created woman. And I'll tell you some other story in my interpretation in terms of woman who was created from man and the responsibility that they have to us. Amen? Well, we'll talk about that another time. The man and his wife were to commune with God. On this day, the Bible says that the serpent, a serpent, he was so subtle, so cunning, he came on that given day and tempted the woman, and she did eat. And you can see the conversation. The serpent came to the woman and said, "Did God tell you not to eat of the fruit?" And she says, "Yes, God said I was to take part of everything else, but that tree in the middle of the garden, we were to stay away from it and not to touch it. Because the day that we touch it, we shall surely die." The serpent says, God is not speaking the truth. God knows that the day that you touch it, you shall be wise as gods. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that she ate, and also did she not only eat of the fruit, but she gave it, she shared it with her husband. Their eyes were open, and they knew, once they ate it, they knew that they were naked. And man started to walk around the garden, and they were looking for leaves to sew, to make an apron, to protect their privacy, because they knew that they were naked. The Bible says that on a given day, their interaction with God, God would meet with them. So on this given day, they heard the voice of the Lord walking into the garden on the cool of the day, saying, "Adam, Adam, where art you?" And the Bible says that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Now you see where we're going this morning, talking about the presence of the Lord. They realized that they were naked, so they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Not only did they hide themselves from the presence of the Lord, guess where man, guess where Adam and Eve hid themselves? Behind some trees. Can you imagine hiding yourself from God behind the trees that he created? So they hid themselves. And the Lord called, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" You remember back in Sunday school days, Sister Carla, we used to sing this song, "Adam in the Garden Hiding." You don't know that song? None of you know that song? "Adam in the garden hiding, hiding, hiding. Adam in the garden hiding, hiding, hiding from the Lord." And it says, "Adam, where art thou?" So Carla, you need to learn that song. So they hid themselves, and they said, the Lord said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Therefore, the Lord sent them forth. The Lord was mad. He sent them forth out of his presence. He drove them out of the garden to go till the ground from whence they were taken. So God drove out man and his wife out of the garden, out of his presence. Not only did he do that, but the Bible says that God called on angels, the cherubim, to stand guard at the garden with a flaming sword to keep the garden of life safe from further intrusions. Brothers and sisters, we cannot live outside of the presence of God. Try all you may. We cannot live outside of the presence of God. You cannot survive. You will never make it. You will not survive outside of the presence of the Lord. I don't care what vitamin you take. I don't care how many miles you run each day, or how many steps you take, or 9 hours of rest that you take each day. You cannot survive without the presence of Almighty God. Psalm 51, verse 11, David prayed. He said, "Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not the Holy Spirit from me." The presence of the Lord in our lives is one of the most important attributes we can ever find. We cannot live without him. We cannot live outside of his presence, brothers and sisters. Psalm 140:30 says, David again, it seems as if David had some issues with the presence of the Lord, in staying in God's presence. David again said, "Surely The righteous shall give thanks to your name, and the upright shall dwell in your presence. What a good God. And this morning, a part of the message this morning, I want to look at three dimensions of the presence of the Lord. Three dimensions. The first one is God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere and at all times. Nothing escapes his eyes. There is no secret, no surprise. And I'm at home sometimes and decide to fool around with Juliet and just to appear, and she screams, "Oh, you're frightening me." We cannot frighten God. You cannot give a surprise to the Almighty God, because God is everywhere. Praise God. Everything done in secret, he can and will reveal it someday. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 6 verses 1 to 3 that the year King Uzziah died, that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And not only did he saw the Lord high and lifted up, but a throne. Oh, hallelujah. A throne, the train, or the robe filled the temple. Not only did it fill the temple, but it hovered around where the mighty seraphims were. Each of them had six wings and two wings that covered their faces and two wings that covered their feet. And the remaining wings, it flew. In a great chorus, they sang, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with the glory of God." David said again in our text, "Where shall I go from your spirit?" Where shall I go? It doesn't matter how high you go, how wide you go, how deep you go. It could even be the ocean floor where implosion takes place. It doesn't matter where you go. You cannot go outside of the presence of God. He goes on to say that there is no place I can hide from him. Adam and Eve decide to hide behind a tree. That to me is one of the weirdest things. You cannot hide from him. From the remote place on earth to hell itself, from the throne room in heaven to the deepest jungle and beyond, God Almighty is there. He is everywhere. Can we worship the Lord this morning? Jonah tried to run away from the presence of God. You remember the story with Jonah. And even in the belly of the fish, he cried out to the Lord because they were in trouble. And God was in the belly of the fish. God, brothers and sisters, is everywhere. God heard him from out of the belly of the fish, and his prayers were answered. You are never alone, brothers and sisters. Even here this morning, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how difficult your situation is. God is there. He's there with you. It doesn't matter how high, wide, deep you are. It doesn't matter how grave your situation and circumstances are. Even if the bottom is falling out, God is there with you, brothers and sisters. The omnipresence of God is our security. It is our security. You are safe in the hand of Almighty God. Let us move on and look at the second area, the indwelling presence. So we looked at the omnipresent. Let us look now at the indwelling presence. God lives in you. What a mystery that the great God living in a frail soul. John 15, 4 and 5 says, "Dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit." Let us check ourselves if we are not bearing fruit. God is actively working in you. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple?" My interpretation is, do you not know that you are God's masterpiece? You are God's temple, and that God's spirit has permanent dwelling place in you. His indwelling presence in our lives, brothers and sisters, is our lifeline. Without him, we are nothing. He shapes our character. He deposits the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, according to Galatians 5, verse 22. Praise God. Let us move right along and look at number three. So we looked at the omnipresence of God. We looked at the indwelling presence. Let us now look at the manifest presence. God's manifest presence, church, is a special task at a specific time. It is God's temporal in nature. His power will flow in a meeting. Have you ever walked into a building and people said, oh my God, when you walked in here, there is just a sense of difference with you being here? Because we walk with the manifest presence of the Almighty God. His presence will flow in a meeting, touching lives. It is not I, the Bible says, but it is the Christ that liveth and dwelleth in me. That when you stand to sing, when you stand to speak, to proclaim God, the presence of God, or invoke the presence of God, flows into a building and brings deliverance to those who are bound. Let us praise the Lord. During the dedication of the temple, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the Bible said that thus all the works that Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, it was now finished. It was now ready. You remember the story well, that God had some communication with David, Solomon's father. But God says, I do not want you, David, to build me a house. I want your son, Solomon, to build this house. So now Solomon started to put every single thing together, and the Bible says it was now finished, and Solomon brought all the things that David his father had dedicated. He brought in silver, he brought gold, he brought various instruments, and he put them among the treasures of the house of God. The Bible says that Solomon assembled the elders. He called all the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe. He called the chief, the fathers. He called brothers and sisters, the children of Israel. He summoned them unto Jerusalem. And now it is the time that he brought now the Ark of the Covenant, which the Lord God, hallelujah, had the Lord out of the city of David, the Bible, which it was in Zion. So he assembled everybody together, and they brought up the ark and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel, they were now assembled together, and they sanctified sheep and oxen. And the chief priest brought the Ark of the Covenant unto the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, under the wings of the cherubims. The cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark and covered it. The writer noted that all that was in the ark was the two tables that Moses put in there. That was all. Two tablets. The priests and the Levites and the singers, along with their sons and brethren, sanctified themselves in white, having the cymbals and psalteries and harp. They stood on the east, 120 priests sounding the trumpets. All the trumpeters and the singers were on one accord, and they praised and thanked the Lord. What did they say? For he is good, and his mercies endure it forever. Oh, praise God. The Bible says that when they sang to the Lord, that his mercies endured forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not even continue their work because of the glorious presence that filled the house and the temple of Almighty God. Can we just lift up our hands and magnify the name of the Lord today, brothers and sisters? The presence of God, it makes a difference. When the presence of God turns up into your situation, it turns it upside down, inside out. It makes the wrong right. Oh, praise the Almighty God. The Bible says that Solomon stood with his hands spread before the altar of the Lord in front of Israel, and he prayed. He says, "Oh Lord God, there is no God like you in heaven and in earth. You keep your promise and you show unfailing love to all who obeyed and are eager to do your will. You made promises, God." Hallelujah. With your own mouth. It wasn't the mouth of someone. You made promise out of your own mouth. And today you have fulfilled it. Oh, praise God, with your own hands. Oh my God. He continued to pray. Be attentive to all the prayers make to you today in this place. And now, oh Lord, arise. Enter your resting place of yours, where your magnificent ark has been placed. May your priest, oh Lord God, be clothed with salvation. And may your saints rejoice in your goodness. Oh Lord, be clothed with salvation. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. And may your saints rejoice in your goodness, O Lord. Do not reject your anointing and remember your unfailing love that you have given and showed to your servant David. What a promise. Sometimes we have to back up God and tell him it was your mouth who said that you will protect, you will heal, you will guide. You said it, Lord. Declare it today with your own hands. The Bible says that when Solomon was finished praying, oh, hallelujah, it says that fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the offering and the sacrifice, and the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the temple because of how glorious the presence of the Lord was. What a presence, brothers and sisters. What a presence. Hallelujah. Praise God. We also see another description of the presence of God in Revelation 1. It says John, he was on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's Day, the Bible says. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And he heard on that given day, he heard behind him a great voice. And the Bible says that the voice was like a trumpet. And the voice says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Oh, hallelujah. When John, hallelujah, when he heard, the Bible says he turned to see who it was that spake with him. And as I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the candlestick, there is one that looked like he was the Son of the Almighty God. What a presence, brothers and sisters. What a presence. What a presence. And we need to invoke the presence of the Almighty God. We need to invite God to dwell with us. So he saw it. He says that when he started to check him out, he said he was clothed with a garment down to his foot. And girt about with a golden candle girdle, and his head and his hair were white like wool, and it was white like snow, and his eyes were like the flame of fire, and his feet was like brass, and they burn in a furnace. I could continue to tell you the description that John on the Isle of Patmos saw when he came into the presence of the Almighty God, but time would not allow me to do so. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, the presence of the Lord even though it sounds glorious, the presence of the Lord is dangerous. Yes. Even though glorious, Brother Larry, and brass and lightning, the presence of the Lord is dangerous. Let us look at 1 Chronicles 13. The Bible said that David attempted to move the ark because it was the right thing to do. So he consulted with all the officials, and the entire whole assembly agreed that they could do this to move the ark of the Lord and bring it back. The Bible says that as they transported the ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord, when thrown between cherubims, and they transported the ark to the house of Abinadab in a new cart with Uzzah, and AI guiding it. that they were celebrating with singing and playing before the arrival onto the threshing floor of Nacon. The Bible said that when they continued to do so, the oxen stumbled and the ark of the Lord was about falling off. And Uzzah, the Bible says, when this happened, Uzzah attempted to go catch the ark before it fell off. You know what happened? He was struck dead for touching the ark, or attempted to touch the ark. So even though glorious, the ark, the presence of God, can be dangerous, brothers and sisters. Let us look at another situation according to the book of Acts 4 and 5. It says that Peter and John were put in prison for the word of the Lord. And the Bible said that they presented their cause. And Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, they were through praying. The Bible said that it was shaken, and the assembly that were there were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of the Almighty God. The witness about the resurrection and all of that dealings. And when the presence of God started to move, the brothers and sisters decided that it was a good thing. Let us go sell our property, sell land, and let us take the gains and lay it at the apostles' feet. Ananias and Sapphira, nobody asked them to go sell their land. Ananias and Sapphira decided to go sell their possession, but they kept back a part of it and brought what they thought before the apostles' feet. You know what happened. They were struck dead in the presence of the Almighty God. Church, we could talk about the priest entering into the holies of holies on a given day to offer sacrifice and prayer for the sins of the people. But because of the glorious presence of God, they had to tie a rope around the waist of the priest with a bell. So once the priest is going into the holies, into the presence of God, and they hear the bell ringing, they know that the priest was okay and was alive. But if they hear nothing, that the priest got into trouble in the presence of God, they couldn't go in there to get them, Brother Larry. They had to pull the priest out of the presence of God. Even though glorious, even though awesome, the presence of God can be a terrible thing if we are out of place. As we wrap up, brothers and sisters, we could talk about Pharaoh and his army who were destroyed in the Red Sea. We could talk about all of these men and women who had terrible or great interaction. But I can tell you this morning, this afternoon, that God is everywhere. So the writer says, whither, where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? It was God's presence who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember the story well, that they were placed in the fiery furnace. Oh, hallelujah. They were placed into the fiery furnace for not bowing. But the king got up on a given day and said, did we not throw three men in the fire? Why am I seeing the fourth? And the fourth is not like an ordinary man. The fourth looks like the Son of Almighty God. It was the presence of God who was with the four leprous men. You know the story well of the four leprous men. They were about dying for hunger. They were outcast. And they looked over into the Syrian camp and said, oh my God, we need some food. The Bible said God's presence took them over into the Syrian camp. And when the Syrian army heard these four men coming, it sounds as if it was a massive army. God was accompanying the four leprous men. And the Syrian army run away, leaving every single thing behind. And the four leprous men went into the Syrian camp, ate all they wanted, enjoyed relaxation, took all their goals, took every single thing, because God's presence was with them. Brothers and sisters, when we stand alone, we are nothing. But when we stand with God, we are everything. It is Philippians 4:13 says, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Another writer says, with God in the vessel, I can smile at the storm. God is able, brothers and sisters. With God, all things are possible. I can do. Can you say it with me today? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am an overcomer with the presence of God today. I'm an overcomer in the presence of the Almighty God. And is it in Deuteronomy? Says that you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall lend to many nations and not borrow. You shall be victorious and not being a victim. Oh, hallelujah. With the presence of God, you can speak, I am healed. I am delivered. I am set free. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is able to take you through. I could go on and on and on, but let me stop here, brothers and sisters, because of time. I want to pray for us today. If you're here and you're going through something, or if you're one of those who sing the footprints in the sand, that you feel all alone, not knowing that God is with you, and then you question God and he says, yes, the time you only see one foot of footprint is when I realized that you couldn't make it anymore, so I was carrying you. If you're here today, I'm going to ask you to indicate. You can stand, brothers and sisters. You may stand. If you're here today, we don't want to embarrass anybody. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We're not trying to set you up. We want to pray with and for you. And let's just do it a little different. Let me invite the prayer team to come and stand with me and let us pray. If you are here and you need support, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter if all hell is breaking loose. It doesn't matter if the doctor has given you over and you are waiting to die. It doesn't matter if it is all falling apart. Please come and let us pray for you. And equally, if you're here today and you're not saved, let me take the responsibility in praying with you, if you could indicate. If you're not saved, I'll ask the prayer team just to support you in those prayers. But if you're here and you're not saved, just indicate your hand. Just indicate wherever you are. If you're not a Christian, if you do not know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, I would love to pray with you if you could just indicate today. Hallelujah.
Nothing worth more.
Great opportunity to allow us to pray for you in the presence of God.
Nothing can come.